Hey, everybody, I want to welcome Echo Church, our Crossroads family, Easttown. I want to tell you, you made a great decision to come to church today, and here's why. The God of the universe, he sees you. He knows you by name. He knows exactly what you're going through. And on this very day, he wants to give you an infusion of overflowing hope. So I want to start by saying congratulations on your great decision. My name's Paul. I'm one of the pastors around here. And can I tell you that as a pastor, there's not a single week that goes by that I don't have a conversation with someone in crisis. In fact, just this past week, I've had three conversations. Like one guy, my friend Vince, they found out that his wife has a mass in her chest. And it's really scary. And they're trying to walk through this and they need prayer. Another couple, they have a young adult son who's suffering from some mental illness and he's making some bad decisions and they're wondering, are things ever going to get better? And then I have one friend, his dad just died and he's fighting to stay clean and hang on to his sobriety in this season of grief. Three different people, three different conversations, but they all needed the same thing. They desperately needed hope. And my guess is so do you and so do I. Now this feeling of desperately needing hope, it makes me think of when I was trying to teach my teenage daughter to drive. This is my daughter, Sierra. And man, she's beautiful, right? She gets her looks from her mom and her brains from her mom. But she gets her sense of humor from me. But here's the deal. My daughter is amazing, but when it comes to driving, not so much. I remember when I was teaching her to drive, we sat in the car for the first time. I said, okay, honey, what's the first thing you want to do before you start the engine? She said, oh, check my mirrors. And I said, no. Okay, think about it. She said, oh, yeah, Dad, I'm sorry. First thing I want to do is put on my seatbelt. I said, no. The first thing you want to do is you want to pray. And let me tell you, man, we prayed. I prayed every time she drove, and I prayed for hope. Like I went, God, I hope we don't die. I hope we don't crash. I hope we make it home safely after this lesson. And you may be wondering, how does teaching my daughter to drive have anything to do with our message? Well, I want to talk to you today about driving with hope. In the same way I wanted to help my daughter learn to drive without dying or crashing, I wanted to make sure that she made it home. In our hope passage today, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, he answers this key question. How do you drive through life so that you don't die spiritually, so that you don't crash your life or miss your desired destination? How do you drive through difficult times with hope? Here's how I want us to frame our message. I'd like you to picture like you're receiving a driving lesson from the Apostle Peter. Like he's sitting in the car with you and you drive up to an intersection and he points out the traffic light and the first light is red. And we all know that red means what? Red means stop. And in training us to drive with hope, the first thing that Peter would point out from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, he would bring us to this red light moment and he would say, stop and remember who you are. Stop and remember who you are. Kind of reminds me of the story of this family reunion where there was this dinner at grandpa's house. Grandma and grandpa were having this family reunion. All the kids and the grandkids are having dinner. And then grandpa looks at grandma and says, hey, honey bunny, can you pass the salt? She brings him the salt. A little later in the dinner, he says, hey, cutie patootie, can you give me some more mashed potatoes? And she serves him some mashed potatoes. And then at the end of the dinner, he says, hey, sweetie pie, how about some of your amazing apple pie for dessert? And so they have the dinner, they wrap it up, they're sitting in the living room, and one of the granddaughters says, oh, grandpa, I just love how you have all these pet names for grandma. He says, pet names? What do you mean? Well, you call her sweetie pie and cutie. He says, oh, that, well, to tell you the truth, I kind of forgot grandma's name about 15 years ago. Friends, the reason I share this silly joke is sometimes when we face challenges, we forget. Sometimes when you're driving through difficult days and you're under pressure, sometimes we forget who we really are. And when we forget that, friends, we tend to fall into the ways of the world. See, I think Peter had this heart to help us drive with hope. And he points to the red light and he says, stop and remember who you are. He says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, but you are not like that, for you are, and then he reminds them, you are a chosen people, a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. See, Peter knew that the believers that he was writing to in that day, even all the way to this day, he knew that we needed to stop and remember, because when we're living under pressure, back then they were living under persecution. And he's saying, maybe today you feel like you're unwanted, unloved, disliked, but remember, because you trusted in God's Son, Jesus Christ, God picked you special to be part of his team, part of his family. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation. And guys, this is so good, because he's saying, remember, God made you to be his very own child. And God is the king of the universe. That means you have royal blood in you. You are royal priests, meaning God has given you a high calling, a special purpose. You are part of his holy nation. And I loved how last week Pastor David said, don't let the word holy freak you out. Holy does not mean weird. It means wonderfully set apart for a special purpose. And friends, what's our special purpose? Just think about it. A priest's primary job is to bring God to the people and bring the people back to God. And I want you to understand very clearly what Peter is doing here, because he's making a contrast between the people of Israel and how they drove in the past in the New Testament, and how today, as Christ followers, we're to drive in a different way. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, the Israelites were called God's chosen people. They were his holy nation. But here's what happens, friends. They dropped the ball. They dropped the ball. Instead of leading the way for the world, they forgot who they were, and they fell into the ways of the world. Instead of leading people to God, they forgot who they were, and they turned their back on God. See, friends, the people of Israel, they forgot who they were, why they were here, and it wrecked them as a nation. It led to captivity, a spiritual crash, and a loss of hope. And so what I want you to understand is, in that moment, God sent a Savior to the world. Jesus Christ, who came and lived a perfect, sinless life, who died on the cross as a payment for our sins. And then Jesus, he backed up his claim to be the Son of God by doing what no other person in all of human history has ever done. Man, he resurrected from the dead. And now, as his people, his followers, we are to take the steering wheel and drive home what the people of Israel failed to do. We are to shine God's light, share God's love, so that people will come and worship him and become part of God's family. Now, can I give you a modern day, like, motion picture that will help us stop and remember who we are? It comes from the Disney classic, The Lion King. Do you know it? Friends, I must have watched this movie at least 200 times with my kids. Now, if for some reason you don't know this movie, this is Simba. And Simba's dad, Mufasa, he was killed. And Simba began to believe some lies. He lost his way, and he ended up living the Hakuna Matata life. Which means when you live that way, you kind of default. When you forget who you are, you kind of default into this survival mode living, where your whole life becomes about avoiding problems and pursuing pleasure. Now, let me say that again. When you forget who you are, you just naturally default into survival mode, where you orient your life on avoiding problems and pursuing pleasure. And that's what happened to Simba, until his good friend Rafiki gave him a hit upside the head. And he said, remember who you are. You're a child of the king, and you have a high calling. And when Simba came to this red light moment, man, he came back to who he was, to his purpose, and it gave him a green light to live his life fighting for the things that really mattered. Well, I want to ask you today, what about you? Are times tough for you right now? Are you struggling to drive through this difficult season? Maybe you're defaulting into just trying to avoid problems, pursue pleasure. You're living in survival mode. I wonder if today God is just flashing the red light and he's saying, stop and come back to who you really are. In fact, I love how Pastor Andy said it in our Hope Project Day 13 devotional. He said this, hear the voice of God over your life today. You are chosen, brought into a new family, a new nation with a new king. You are a special possession belonging to the one who brought you out of your dark past into a new bright reality where his light shines and makes every shadow of doubt, fear, and insecurity run for cover. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And friends, once you have this nailed down, the red light shifts to a green light. And we all know what green means, right? Green means go. Go forward to fulfill God's great purpose for your life. You want to go after God's purpose. Let me ask you, friends, do you know God's purpose for your life? You know, 25 years ago when my wife Karen and I, when we started Crossroads Church, we wanted to start the church on purpose. And one of the things we did is we went down to Central Park and we just did some man-on-the-street interviews where we asked random strangers, hey, excuse me, but can you tell me what is the purpose of your life? And you'd be surprised at how many people had no clue. In fact, the number one answer was a lot of people just said, well, I guess my purpose is to try to be happy. Man, I was so discouraged. Like nobody had this idea until I met one young man, a high school student. When I went up to him, I said, young man, tell me, what's the purpose of your life? And without blinking an eye, he said this, the purpose of my life is to go to heaven and to bring as many people with me as possible. And friends, here I am 25 years later. I never forgot that kid. The purpose of my life is to go to heaven and to bring as many people with me as possible. What about you? Do you have clarity? Like, are you driving forward with a go-forward mentality with God's purpose on your life? You know, in my office, this is like my favorite picture that reminds me of my purpose. This picture was taken on Valentine's Day of 2015 when our church broke ground on our new worship center. On that day, 700 people came out and we all took shovels, we dug into the ground, we turned over the dirt, but we made this declaration that God had called us to do more than just build a building. He called us to bring hope to a hurting world. And friends, on that day, can I tell you, that we gave a new definition to the word hope. We defined hope, H-O-P-E, helping other people eternally. Helping other people eternally. Do you know that's exactly what Peter is telling us in the rest of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, when he says this, as a result, the result of remembering who you are, he said, I'm giving you the green light to go and show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. You see, right here, Peter is just echoing the words that Jesus gave him just before he ascended into heaven. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus gives Peter and he gives us the green light when he says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, friends, instead of talking to you about this verse, I want you to see it firsthand as we see this couple who lived out this verse with our very first baptisms since shelter in place. This is so exciting. Check this out.
Hi, I'm Helena.
Hi, I'm Cameron.
And we've been attending Echo North San Jose for about a year and a half, and we're here today to get baptized.
I grew up in the church. My family always was around the church. It was really cool because the church I went to, we had a lot of family there. It was all my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, grandparents, and then my walk with Christ was always there, but it was a little less consistent. And so going through high school and going through college, it was always kind of that same way, just kind of dabbling, but always kind of wanting more.
For me, it was almost the opposite. I wasn't raised with any kind of religious background, never went to church as a kid with my parents. We just weren't really religious as a household. I had a lot of friends who were, so there actually was a summer where I wanted to hang out with my friends, so I went to Bible school with them for the summer. But I was never really fully invested into any religion until I was in, I think, high school and college, where I would start to go like willingly with my friends to church on Sundays. And after college, when I was dancing with the Raiders, I had a couple friends who were big believers of Jesus, and they took me with them under their wing. So two of them, Summer and Alyssa, actually attend Echo North San Jose, and they brought me here. And I've never felt like I really belonged in a church. I felt nervous to be there. I felt like it just wasn't the right place for me. And being here at Echo, I've like finally found a home that we are so happy to come to.
Growing up, church was a little bit more about following rules and not really as much a relationship with Jesus. And as I went through the ups and downs in high school and college, and I got back to knowing Jesus on a more personal level, Christ on a more personal level, I really just started learning more about his love and his grace. And through the years, you know, these past 7 years, it's something I've always thought about is, you know, recommitting my life to Christ and really making that commitment and making him the center of my life.
I just always felt kind of nervous. I thought that I'd have to answer like a series of questions about the Bible. And if I messed up, I like couldn't get baptized. And I was just really nervous about it. But we listened to a Carl Lentz sermon, actually. And he brought up that like, as long as you think that you are ready and you believe that you are a true follower of Jesus and you've accepted him into your heart fully and wholly, then that's the time for you to become baptized. And that finally like made me less nervous. And I was like, you know what? Like, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, but I've just never felt good enough to be baptized. And like now that I fully understand that God's grace is gonna love me regardless of how I feel about myself, that really reaffirmed my decision to get baptized. If you're considering getting baptized, but you're on the fence and you keep going back and forth, my biggest advice is once you fully accept Jesus in your heart and you know that you can trust him 100%, God has seen you at your worst times and he still loves you. Even at times where you feel like you can't love yourself and you're not worthy, you have to remember that Jesus knows you at your worst and he still loves you even at your worst. So that's huge for me.
I think a lot of people are looking for boxes to check and rules and all this. And I think his grace and love is sufficient. And so you know your relationship with him and making this public commitment to just kind of live in your life for him. I think it's really symbolic and just super rewarding.
Lena, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? And are dedicated to live for him for the rest of your life? Awesome. Well, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Bury the likeness of his death. Raise a new life. My brother Cam, I ask you the same thing. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? And you dedicated to him to live for him for the rest of your life?
Yes, I have.
Awesome. Well, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Congratulations.
Awesome. I wonder if that story resonated with you. Could it be that God's flashing you the green light for you to go and be baptized? Do you know our next baptism is going to be July 18th in Santa Cruz, and it's going to be awesome. And friends, do you know that every time you see a baptism, do you know what you're seeing? The person being baptized, they're telling you the story of Jesus, and what Jesus did in their lives. Because when they're standing there in the water, they are declaring that Jesus lived. When they go under the water, they're saying that Jesus died for my sins and he was buried. And when they come out of that water, they're declaring Jesus resurrected from the dead and he's alive in my heart. Well, friends, can I tell you, if you can say that you believe that Jesus lived, died, rose again, and he's in your heart, then you are ready to go and be baptized. And you see, for Cam and Helena, by their baptism, they were saying the exact same words found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Check out this verse. Peter writes, "Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had received no mercy, but now you have received mercy." Friends, I want you to think of that last sentence. Once you had received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. Do you know this one sentence? I think it highlights the primary difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. In fact, I love the phrase that Christians aren't perfect, we're just forgiven. It makes me think of the shocking true story of George Wilson. Do you know in 1830, George Wilson was arrested for robbery and murder? He was tried, convicted, and sentenced to death. But because George Wilson was a young man, his family and his friends, like, they begged for mercy. And somehow their pleas reached the desk of then-President Andrew Jackson. And in this incredible act of mercy, President Jackson awarded a pardon to George Wilson. Now, here's the shocking part. George Wilson, his heart was so hardened by life and by prison that he told the president he could stick his pardon, and he refused it. And on his execution day, I mean, he was killed. This was the official statement when George Wilson was executed. He says this, "George Wilson is being sentenced to death, not because he was found guilty, but because he refused the pardon." I want you to think about that story because that's really our story. You know, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. And the truth is we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. We can't even live up to our own standards of right and wrong, let alone God's. And the sentence for our sin is death and hell and separation from God. But can I tell you, in an incredible act of mercy, God says, "I have a free gift for you, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." And so here's the question. It's like the defining line. Have you received God's mercy? Have you received his pardon or not? God's mercy, receiving his gift of eternal life through Christ. Today, you can do that by a simple, humble act of placing your faith and trust in Jesus. And guys, let me tell you, this is our mission. This is why we're here as a church. We've been given the green light to go and tell others of God's goodness and mercy and wonderful pardon. That's our vision. As a church, we exist to urgently lead people to say yes to Jesus and passionately follow him. And if you're with us today and you haven't accepted Christ, I want to tell you, we're doing everything we know to show you God's love and to help you receive God's pardon and say yes to Jesus. Because friends, let me tell you, when you say yes to Jesus, this is what happens. God forgives all your sins. He adopts you into his family. He sends his Holy Spirit to come live in your life so you will never face another day alone by yourself. And not only that, he gives you the gift of eternal life, heaven forever, and then he places a high calling on your life. You are his royal priest, his chosen people. And that's our green light. That's our green light. We are to go and show, to go and shine and help people say yes to the wonderful mercy and the great pardon of Jesus. Well, there's one last light we need to talk about in Peter's driving lesson. It's the yellow light. And you all know yellow light means what? It kind of depends on who you ask, right? Like you ask my teenage son who drives his souped up Mustang, and he says, oh yeah, Dad, yellow light. Well, it depends. Is it early yellow, middle yellow, or late yellow? For some of you, yellow light means slow down. For some of you, the way you drive, yellow light means speed up. Can I tell you, for the Apostle Peter, yellow light means this: be cautious. Be careful with your witness. This is how he says it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. He says, dear friends, I warn you. That's the yellow light. I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. And again, this is a reminder of who we are. We're God's children. This earth is not our home. We have a home in heaven. He said, I warn you to keep away from worldly desires that wage war on your very souls. I wonder what worldly desires are waging war on your life during this COVID season. Do you know when the Bible talks about worldly desires, it explains it this way in 1 John chapter 2, verses 16. It says this: for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. Can I tell you right now during this COVID season, there are so many things that want to entice me and pull me away from my commitment to Christ and wreck my witness for Him. There's sexual sin, there's lust, there's pride, there's selfishness, there's gluttony, there's materialism and anger and greed. And in this verse, what Peter is doing is he's flashing the yellow light and he's saying, man, be careful, show caution, because people are watching you more than you know. In fact, in verse 12, he says it this way: be careful to live life properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they'll give honor to God when he judges the world. I was thinking about this verse and I remember the very first time I had to fight some worldly desires because I was trying to think of my witness. I was a brand new Christian. I was a senior in high school, and I came out of a party-hard lifestyle. And so as this new Christian, one of my buddies, he's throwing a big party, but I know in advance, man, at this party, there's going to be a lot of drinking, a lot of drugs, a lot of craziness, but I really wanted to go. I wanted to be with my friends, and I just pray. I say, okay, God, here's the deal. I'm going to go, but if I start to feel tempted, I'll just leave. And so I went to this party, and man, I was right. I'm telling you, as soon as I walked in the door, there was a keg in the kitchen. We're 18-year-old kids. Keg in the kitchen, Jack Daniels in the backyard, people taking shots, people smoking pot all around the house. And I started like to feel like I'm trying not to participate, but people began to notice like, hey, Paul, what's the deal? Come on, man. One beer or one hit, it won't kill you. And I thought, man, what am I doing here? Maybe I should just leave. But right there in that moment, one of my friends named Lori, she came up and she grabbed my elbow and she said, hey, Paul, man, can you help me? Man, this creepy guy, he's been following me around all night. I can't get rid of him. And I was hoping, like, if you stuck by my side that he would leave me alone. And so we kind of walked through the party and we were talking and we ended up in a back room. And we're sitting there, and Lori looks at me, and she says, hey, you don't look very happy. Like, man, you're not drinking anything. You're sober. And she said, what's up with that? And I said, Lori, and it was the very first time I ever talked about my faith. And I said, Lori, I've given my life to Jesus, and I can't live this way anymore. And friends, it was like God gave me this green light to share my faith for the very first time. And for the next hour, Lori and I, we talked about God and about faith. And I even got to pray that God would bless her and help her in her life. Well, friends, I want to tell you that night, man, I went home from that party. I was so high. But I wasn't high on drugs and alcohol. I was high on God. Now, here's the really cool part. Do you know, 10 years later, Karen and I come back as missionaries from Africa. And we come back and we're speaking in this small Baptist church. And right after our message, this lady comes up to me and she says, Paul, Don't you recognize me? It's me, Lori. This is my husband. These are my three kids. We're all Christians. And I want to tell you, I've never forgotten that night at the party when you talked to me about God. Man, it blew me away. I remember walking out of that little Baptist church, and I just thought, man, I am so glad that I didn't just blow through God's yellow light and like crash my witness. And can I tell you, to this very day, I really try to think about how my choices and my decisions and my actions, they're either going to point people to God or push him away. And that's how I want to drive with hope. That's how I want to help other people eternally. And how about you? Friends, that's our driving lesson for today. And here's what I want us to do. I want us to just like, let's pull over for a second. Let's shut off the engine. And let's just recap. Red light means stop and remember who you are. I was thinking, what if every day for the rest of this month, what if every day you took some time to stop and let God speak into you and remind you that you are his child, that you are loved, that you are chosen, that he has a high calling on your life? Can I tell you two ways I'm trying to do that every day? First, I start out every day reading my Hope Project devotional. And God just speaks to me and reminds me. And I know he will do that for you. Also, I know it sounds a little corny, but as I drive, every day while I'm driving, every time I come to a red light, I just take 10 seconds. And I just say to myself, out loud, okay, Paul, you are a child of God, you are chosen by God, and you have a high calling to make a difference for good in the world. 10 seconds, but I tend to hit a lot of stoplights. And every single day, it's helping me drive through my life with hope. That's the red light. Now, let's recap. Green light means go. That's where God calls us forward. Maybe God's calling you to move forward, and this is your moment to go and give your heart to Jesus. To be able to say, once I lived without mercy, but today I am saying yes to God, receiving his pardon by receiving Christ. Friends, you can do that right now by simply praying. Just open your heart and pray, dear Jesus, the best way I know how, I'm asking you to come into my life, forgive my sins, make me a new person from the inside out as I receive your pardon and the gift of eternal life. Friends, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, would you let us know? We'd love to support you and help you grow in your new faith. But I want to tell you, whether you prayed that prayer for the first time today or last week or last month or maybe even years ago, if you've prayed to ask Christ to come into your life, maybe your green light is to go and be baptized. If you know that you have Christ, you're ready. And you can just click on that and we will get you the information you need so you can be baptized on July 18th in Santa Cruz, and I hope to see you there. One more green light decision, and it's the green light where personally and specifically you say, I'm going to go forward. And I want you to think, who would God have you invite, serve, and show God's love to help them say yes to Jesus this week? There's one more green light I wanted to highlight, and that's the green light of giving. I want to say loud and clear to Echo Church, Crossroads, to Easttown, you guys have been so generous and faithful in your giving. And because of that, we've been able to do more than just survive. We've been able to help other churches and touch hundreds of lives in the community. But I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for your giving. But I want to say a word for those of you who have been coming. You've been checking things out. Could it be there comes a time where God flashes the green light and he's saying, I want to move you from consumer to contributor. And I was thinking about this because over my lifetime, man, I've spent money on a lot of different things, on clothes and cars and toys and trips and education and entertainment. But when I look back on all the money I've ever spent, I'm most proud of the money that I have given to help people say yes to Jesus and grow the church. And I want to encourage you, if you've never given before, for the very first time, to go ahead in our generosity moment to give, because, man, it will bless you more than you know. And then finally, I want us to pay attention to this last yellow light. Friends, if God is speaking to you and he's flashing that yellow light saying, be careful, be cautious, because your choices are bigger than just you. And so don't slip in, don't crash your life with sexual sin or addictions or anger, or pride and selfishness, because people are watching more than you know. And what we want them to see is the goodness and grace of God. And I'd like us to pray for that now. Would you pray with me? God, I'm so grateful that you're such a personal and powerful Father. You see us. You know us by name. You know exactly what we need. And you're trying to bring us hope. And so, God, would you use this driving lesson to help us stop and remember what you make us and who we are because of Christ? Would you give us the green light to move forward, to trust you, accept you, be baptized, share your love with others, make a difference in the world? And God, help us to be cautious and careful when you flash the yellow light, because we want our lives to shine for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, everybody, thanks for letting me share with you, and I hope to see you soon. Hey, everybody, thanks for checking out this message. I really hope that it encouraged you. In fact, if you liked it, can I encourage you to do two things? First of all, subscribe to this channel and share this message. You never know, by sharing this message, you may be helping another person say yes to Jesus. And then secondly, if you're finding hope and encouragement through this ministry, would you pray about giving so we can keep on carrying this ministry and these messages to change the world? So I hope that you'll go forward this week and echo the message of God's love wherever you're at. And God bless you, everyone.